Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter.
Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the digital marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. This is episode 272 of The Big Show, and I think we have a really cool show for you. I'm just going to put it out there right now. I am about to go out on a limb and make a big honkin' prediction or set of predictions about the five tech trends that probably are going to shape the 2020s. Well, I'm going to say they will shape the 2020s. But I fully acknowledge the fact that, you know, it's always tough to know where we're going to be 10 years down the road. And even 5 years down the road. But I've been giving this a lot of thought for the last, you know, few weeks when I've been talking about, you know, the trends that you need to watch, how mobile's big and how voice is big and all that kind of stuff. And I thought it would be interesting to lay out sort of a vision for the next 5 years anyway, and possibly the next 10. And I want to give a lot of credit where due. I've been doing a ton of reading, just about things that seem to be shaping customer behavior. And one of the things that I really paid attention to was various individuals' write-ups of things like CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, which I'm sure everybody who listens to the show knows what CES is, but it's a big, big trade show for manufacturers of various types of electronics to show their wares every year. And a whole bunch of folks wrote some really great stuff about what they saw. You know, people like Steven Sinofsky, who is the former president of the Windows division at Microsoft. He was there for 23 years. He led development of Microsoft Office, and he did a really fantastic write-up of CES that I will put in the show notes. The Verge did a really, really great write-up. The Washington Post had a great roundup of what they saw. Kara Swisher, who is the founder of Recode and the host of Recode, Decode, and a bunch of other podcasts, didn't recap CES, so far as I'm aware, but she wrote a really great piece in the New York Times just about, you know, her view of where tech is going and how tech needs to evolve in the coming years. The fine folks at Andreessen Horowitz, a16z.com, and their fantastic podcast where they talk about a bunch of different stuff, including what they saw at CES. So some of this is, you know, a recap of the recaps, is pulling everything together and seeing what trends everyone talked about. And some of this is, you know, me giving a lot of thought to what I'm seeing and where I think we're going. And I fully acknowledge I could be wrong about this, but if I am, it's going to be awesome, because sometimes when you're wrong, that's where the best learning comes from. So one of the things I'm going to ask is, when you listen to this podcast, if you hear me say something and you go, "You're out of your mind," don't hesitate to call me out on it. Send me an email, send me a tweet, you know, drop me a note on Facebook. Let's talk about it and figure out where I went wrong and how to bring it back to reality. But I'm going to lay these out, and I'm going to run them down very quickly, and then I'm going to kind of expand on them a little bit. And they are: mobile, and hear me out on this one. There's a lot going on there that I think we need to pay attention to. The connectivity with apps, that everything has an app now. Voice, and the fact that voice sometimes is the app and sometimes has apps unto itself. The introduction of foldable, flexible screens, which I have really, really strong opinions about. And then finally, privacy. And I'm going to talk about what all of these mean in a little more detail, and then I want to take a step back and look at them in the bigger picture and what the bigger picture might mean. So let's run these down. So first, mobile. You know, one of the things that we have to take for granted is that everything is connected to the internet in some way. All of the CES roundups talked about 5G and Wi-Fi in everything, which is great. But we have to remember that mobile is a situation. It's not a device. And if you're looking at mobile as strictly the box that someone holds in their hand, the little piece of glass and aluminum that they hold in their hand when they interact with your product and service, you may not be thinking about mobile the right way. Instead, when you look at some of the devices that are being used and being introduced, we're seeing mobile treated as a situation. It's a situation where people are out and about and need mobile access to things. So, you know, cars increasingly are including things like voice control of any number of their features, whether it's powered by Amazon's Alexa, whether it's powered by Google's Assistant, whether it's powered by Apple's Siri, whether it's powered by some proprietary thing. It's an acknowledgement that, hey, if I'm in the middle of, say, driving a car, or I'm in the middle of walking down a street, looking at a piece of glass, looking at a screen may not be the correct interface, may not be the best option. And we're starting to see that being built into products and services. Now, when we think about apps and how they're connecting everything to, you know, the examples that came from CES were things like home automation, home security, health. But what I found interesting about that was that it's really more a recognition of data on demand about your personal life. You know, up till now, apps have mostly focused on either, you know, business productivity or entertainment. I mean, think about games and things like that. But we're starting to get deeper into the things that people care about, where they live, how they live. And don't get me wrong, lots of apps exist that help with lots of these functions, but we're starting to see it become more mainstream. So that's something we really want to watch as a trend. Now, of course, I already mentioned voice a little bit as a trend we want to pay attention to in the context of mobile and the fact that it isn't a screen isn't always the best solution or the best option available to you. But obviously, those apps may be controlled by voice. We're seeing the reality that people are getting increasingly used to talking to their devices, and we should expect to see a lot more of that. Now, that doesn't mean that screens go away. What it means is that screens become more situation-dependent, more situation-aware. And that's where this idea of foldable, flexible screens come in. You know, the point of them is today they kind of suck. Every write-up I've seen of them is kind of a statement of they're not great yet. But as we move forward, we should expect to see screens be more of an item that you can pull out when you need one and have it meet the size requirements you need. I don't know that it's going to be foldable and flexible screens that actually are the solution. Maybe it'll be an unrollable screen. Maybe it'll be, you know, a projector that you can project on a surface. Maybe it'll be an AR kind of thing that, you know, where you're wearing glasses and it just appears in the air as you need it. I'm not sure. But I think this foldable, flexible screen situation is a recognition that, you know, voice is going to be great for a lot of contexts, and then there will be other contexts where we need a screen, and that screen should meet the needs at that moment, be as big as it needs to be, or be smaller if it needs to be. So I think that's something that we're going to see a lot of as we go forward. And then, of course, you know, I've talked about mobile, I've talked about apps, I've talked about apps that really get into your personal data, I've talked about voice, I've talked about foldable, flexible screens. But obviously, we have to know that privacy is becoming a bigger thing. It's interesting that it was a real highlight that there were a number of sessions at CES that talked about privacy. And this is straight out of the Washington Post. This is a quote. They said, "It's a big deal that techies are even talking about privacy. CES has long been the epicenter of cheerleading for connecting everything to the internet," unquote. So it's a recognition that, you know, maybe people aren't going to want to get this kind of data and this type of connectivity and this type of data pulled out of everyday actions and activities if there's not some assurance of, you know, the fact that their data is going to be secure and that their personal information is going to be secure and safe. Now, one thing I thought was particularly interesting when people were rounding up what they saw at CES is that no one seems to have talked about AI or machine learning in a big way. Now, I suspect we're entering a bit of the trough of disillusionment stage of the hype cycle, but I know that we're going to see a lot of it under the hood for all of these innovations as we go forward. You know, for starters, what do you think makes voice work so well? If you don't have natural language processing, if you don't have machine learning of that input type, voice doesn't really work. Now, I've kind of laid these out, but what I really think is interesting is how these come together. You know, if you look back 10 years, 15 years, it's interesting to note how companies have managed to forecast the changes that were coming in the future appropriately. You know, think about Google Docs and how they predicted, and I'm putting air quotes around this, that everyone would be connected enough that you wouldn't need local storage. Or think about Apple and the introduction of the iPhone and their understanding that people would just use this device to connect to the internet in addition to making calls and in addition to, you know, listening to their music and things like that. And since we're talking about listening to music, think about Spotify and how they knew streaming would be a thing once people were connected to the internet all the time. And I think it's really telling that these three technologies all came to market within about 15 months of one another. You know, Google Docs was introduced in March of 2006, Spotify was introduced in April of 2006, and the iPhone was introduced in June of 2007. They all got, all these companies understood that they would each depend on connectivity first and then mobile connectivity, especially for their core value proposition and the differentiation that they offered. So let's just take a look for a second about where things might go. You know, what would you get if you could bring together mobile connectivity all the time and all of the sensors in those mobile devices? Voice control of the experience that's independent of a screen. Probably something that's small because the processing could be done in the cloud and again, doesn't need a screen attached to it. That might make personal data more valuable using AI or machine learning, but also keeps that data private. You know, you could get things like personal health assistants that monitor your behaviors or your activity and alert you to positive or negative changes in those behaviors or activity. Maybe it talks you through a customized workout or a diet plan. You know, think what would be the wearable form of Peloton, right? Or maybe we'll just see things like note-taking or reminders that you can, you know, set via voice that will remind you via voice to do something when you reach a given location. You know, you get to your house or you get to your office, that sort of thing. And let's be fair, these all exist today, but they're hardly mainstream activities for most customers, and the seamlessness of the interfaces still have work to do. But that's the kind of thing of where we're probably heading. So, you know, we've got mobile, we've got apps, we've got voice, we've got foldable flexible screens, we've got privacy. You know, what can you do given this? Well, first, you've got to keep watching. What changes are you seeing in the way customers behave? Are they using voice and audible computing more? Are they using it less? Are they using it about the same? How is that behavior changing over time? Have you seen anybody using foldable screens or using them when they need more screen real estate? you know, pay attention to customer behavior and see if you can find any canaries in the coal mines there as we go forward. The second thing you do is keep learning. I often talk about the importance of continued learning, especially when it comes to digital. We're talking about the shape of the next decade here. I don't believe my skills are going to be 100% relevant. The skills that I have now will be 100% relevant 5 or 10 years from now. And I'm continually working to improve. I recommend others do the same because I just don't see that what we do today is going to continue to be relevant if we don't continue to grow. And finally, while we're talking about continuing to grow, keep asking questions. Where do we go from here? That's what I'm doing right now. I'm asking questions about what the future is going to look like. I could be wrong, but I'm at least giving thought to it and working through the reality that we see. Where will we go from here? A lot of these things we're talking about are impressive developments, some of which will definitely take hold and some of which will definitely fall away. But when that starts to happen, what's going to build on top of that? What can you build on top of that? Because you don't want to think about any of these as endpoints. Think of them instead as the start of a whole new reality. Because fundamentally, that's what your customers are going to do. So there you have it. Those are the 5 tech trends I think are going to shape the 2020s. What do you think? What did I miss? What else is coming that I haven't thought of yet or that we haven't talked about? And how do you think those will shape customer behavior in 2020, in 2025, in 2030? I'd love to hear it. So again, drop me an email, shoot me a tweet. Let's have a discussion about this. Because no matter which of these actually takes root, the reality is this is going to be super fun to watch. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for this week, but I'd like to remind you that you can find the show notes for today's episode, as well as an archive of all our past episodes, by going to timpeter.com/podcast. Again, that's timpeter.com/podcast. Just look for episode 272. While you're there, you can click on the subscribe link in any of the episodes you find to have Thinks Out Loud delivered to you every single week. You can also subscribe to Thinks Out Loud on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, or whatever your favorite podcatcher happens to be. Just do a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or Thinks Out Loud. We should show up for any of those. While you're there, by the way, I'd really appreciate it if you could provide a positive rating or review for the podcast. It helps new listeners find this and helps them understand what kind of show this is. It makes a huge difference for me. And I would very, very much appreciate it. I also want to remind you that you can find Thinks Out Loud on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/TimPeterAssociates. And you can find me on Twitter using the Twitter handle @TCPeter. And of course, you can email me by sending an email to podcast@TimPeter.com. Again, that's podcast@TimPeter.com. As ever, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Solo Segment. Solo Segment focuses on AI-driven content discovery and site search analytics to unlock revenue for your business. You can learn more about how to improve your content, increase your customer satisfaction, and make your search smarter by going to solosegment.com. Again, that's solosegment.com. With that, I want to say thanks so much for tuning in. I really appreciate you listening. I hope you have a great rest of the week. I hope you have a wonderful week ahead. And I will look forward to speaking with you again on Thinks Out Loud next time. Until then, as ever, please be well, be safe, and take care, everybody.